Okay, says the Gemara on the fourth line of the Chof Tes on the base. Ahuda Achmin Le Edim Le Chavre Bekilte. There was somebody who hid Edim against his friend in a box. Now, he doesn't know that there's Edim who are listening to every word he's saying. And remember, we said in the previous Sugya that it's only if you formally appoint Edim is that considered a true admission. And here, although it's in front of Edim, but it's unbeknown to him. Omar, Iri, Veshichbi, Lehavi, Aloch, Sadi. Would you be happy, those who are awake, those who are sleeping? In other words, even those unbeknown to you, Omalei Loi. No, I did not formally appoint Edim. Omar of Kahana, Omalei Loi. Well, if that's the case, he's clearly said no. You cannot now bring these Edim against him and say, well, you admitted in front of Edim because he did say clearly that I'm not appointing them. Similarly, Ahuda Achmin Edim Bekivre Lechavre, he once hid Edim in a caver, in a grave. Omalei Monalei Biyad Chomalei Hen, Yom Yamon, and he said yes. Chaye Umesi Lehaveloch Sadi, would you be happy for live people, dead people to be Edim? Omalei Loi. No, I didn't agree to that. Omer Rab Shimon, Omalei Loi. Once again, well, if he said no, he said no. So you cannot now afterwards say to him, well, you were admitted in front of Edim, when he clearly said that if there are Edim lurking around, unbeknown to me, then that's not what I had in mind. Says the Gemara, Omer Ravina, the Itamer Rapapa on about the 10th line, Choftes on the base. Omer Ravina, the Itamer Rapapa, Shmamin Omeho. We said before the Omer of Yehuda, Omer Rav, we see Tzorech Sheyomer Atem Eidai, quote unquote. You've got to say those magic two words, you are the Edim. You've got to formally appoint the Edim, and then and only then is the admission in front of the Edim a valid admission. Now, it makes no difference whether the loiva formally appoints the Edim or the malva appoints them and the loiva is silent. So it means if the malva says, listen, here are the Edim, and the loiva says, yes, I'm okay with that, then even though it wasn't the loiva who actually appointed the Edim, but he's agreed to the malva's appointment, and that would be okay. Why? Tamed Omer Loiva Loi. Because the only thing that could object is if the loiva says, I don't want it, Avli Shosik, Hochanami. But if he's silent and the malva says, listen, here are the Edim. Now, you owe me money. And he says, yes, I do. So he did not object to the malva's appointment of the Edim. So that's a clear admission that, yes, these are, in fact, the Edim. Says the Gemara, who would have a korele kav roshu? There was a person who was called, Rashi explained, he's got a lot of shtoris, a lot of debts. He was known to owe a lot of money, but we'll see if it's true. Omar man masik bi el aplani o plani. He says, who has lent me money? I don't admit to owing anybody anything except plani o plani. A couple of people I admit. Well, is that an admission? Osu tovu uladina. So they came and they claimed him, they brought him to a din. You made a public admission that although you don't owe anybody money, but you owe us money, well, can you please pay up? To which he said, no. A person would be quite interested that people should think he's not wealthy. Lahazbia from a lotion of like vesavot or satisfaction. So he's quite happy. The reason why he said it, not because it was a true admission, but rather because he's trying to get people to think that actually he's not a wealthy person. Why would he want to do that? For obvious reason, like we said, he doesn't want people hounding him, etc., etc. And therefore, it's not necessarily an admission that he actually owes the money. So why did he say it? Because he has an interest to pretend that he's not really wealthy. So therefore, they've got no recourse and they cannot now claim the money from him. Another story. There was a person with a funny nickname. He's like a mouse that sleeps on money. In other words, he's just sitting on the money, but not actually doing anything about it. He's a miser. Kiko Shochiv, when he was about to die, Omar Plani O Plani and Maski Bozuzi. Just on his deathbed, he said, the following two people lent me money. Bosar de Shochiv, after he died, Osito Vinula Yoroshin. So they came to the Yoroshin and say, listen, your father, just before he passed away, openly admitted that he owes us money. Now, what's the difference between this sugya and the previous sugya? Because in the last story, we had the logic that a person would want others to think that he's poor. But over here, maybe that's not relevant because he knew that he's on his deathbed. So it doesn't matter what people think of him, he's about to die. Also, the Kamed Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yisi, Omer Lehu, Ki Od Omri Odom Osu Shaloi Lazbias Asmoi Hani Mili Michayim, Avala Achar Misaloi. You can only say that Svara when a person is alive, because for the rest of his life, he doesn't want people hounding him, and he's quite happy for people to think that he's poor. But when he's about to die, surely that logic doesn't apply. And if that's the case, then L'chaira, we do have a clear indication that actually he must be chayev to pay the money. Paru palga. So they paid half. For the moment, they paid half. Tavinu ladina le'idach palga. So then they said, okay, please can you pay up the other half? All of a sudden, osu l'kamid Rav Chiya. So they came to Rav Chiya. Omar lehu, k'shem she'odom osu sh'lo la'zbia es atzmoi, kach odom osu sh'lo la'zbia es bonov. So Rav Chiya said, I would have disagreed with Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel said it only applies to him whilst he's alive. Says Rabbi Chiya, it's true that he personally was about to die. But l'chaira, the same logic would apply vis-a-vis his children. In other words, a person will be quite happy, just as he wants to himself to be perceived as not being rich, so too he's quite happy for his children also to be viewed the same way. And therefore, if you would have asked me, I would have said that his children are actually not chayav to pay the money. Omrulei nezel v'nahada. So, okay, so should we give back the first half now? Omraluna kvahira hazokin. Vahira hazokin. Rabbi Shmuel is ready paskin. So that which Rabbi Shmuel is ready paskin, they chayav to pay and they paid, I'm not going to overturn his judgment. But with regard to going forward, the outstanding payment that has not yet been paid, the remaining half, so that question has not yet been resolved. So I maintain that it was not a true admission. Because just like he wants himself to be viewed as poor, so too he's very happy for his children also to be viewed as poor. Therefore, they don't have to pay him. It wasn't a true admission. It was just a joke. He doesn't really owe the money. Says the Gemara, last word on the line. Hoide bifnei shnayim v'konu miyodi. Remember, we had a whole discussion. Let's not launch into it again, but just a very brief recap. There is a fundamental difference between a milva alper and a milva bishtar. If it's just a verbal loan or a written loan. A written loan, i.e. when it's written in a shtar, has much more koyach. What does that mean, has much more koyach? Because the lender now can not only claim the money from the borrower, but if the borrower doesn't have it, he can claim from his assets. He can claim from assets that he might have sold or given away. So the question is, under what circumstances would we write a shtar? We cannot just assume at every loan that the borrower is happy to have a shtar written against him for reasons we just mentioned, because it's much more power to the malva. So, hoide b'fnei shnayim v'konu miyodei. If there was an admission in front of two, but v'konu miyodei, not only was there haidah, but they even did a kinyan. So then, koisvin, if they did a clear kinyan, then that's a clear admission and recognition that I'm happy for you to write a shtar. But v'imlav ein koisvin. If not, just because he admitted in front of Shnaim, yes, he's absolutely chayav to pay. As we've said in the whole of the last sugya, that once you say an admission in front of two edim, you're chayav to pay. But I never said I want you to write it in a shtar. What about bifnei shloisha v'lo ikonu miyodei? If they didn't do a kinyan, but it wasn't just merely in front of two people, it was actually in front of three. So maybe that's a different story. Has the concept, has the status of a bezdin. Is Rav Omar Koisvin, Rav Asi Omar Ein Koisvin, it's a machloikas. Hava uvda v'choshle Rav lahod Rav Asi. So Rav, even though he maintained himself that he's supposed to write a shtar, but when the story came, he said, I have to be choshesh for Rav Asi, that maybe, just maybe, you should not write a shtar. Omar Rav Adar Ba'ava, ha odisa. An odisa, which is a, again, an admission. Sometimes zimnin kosvinon v'zimnin loy kosvinon. It depends. Is there a general rule? No. Sometimes you'd write that admission in a shtar, and sometimes not. What would it depend on? Says the Gemara, kenifi v'yosvi loy kosvinon. If they were gathered already, there happened to be three people sitting there, and this fellow admitted in front of them, then he would not write a shtar, because he did not assemble them. They were assembled already. They happened to be sitting around. But kanfinu ihu, But if he gathered them, he said, listen, please, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, please all come here, sit together. I hereby admit that I owe money to Chaim. Well, then he's clearly appointed them as a Bezdin, and they would write a shtar. Rava Omer, no, afilu kanfinu ihu. Even if he did assemble them himself, but lo kasvinon, add until such point to Omer lahu, until he says to them, quote unquote, havu olai dayonim. So only if he says, I want you to be the dayonim. If he formally appoints them, the fact that he assembled them is not yet enough. But if he formally appointed them as dayonim, yes, that would be considered an appointment as a bezdin, and then they would write this admission down in the shtar. Ma'abar Rav Ashi said, no, that's also not enough. Afilu amar havolei dayonim, quote unquote. Even if he did say havolei dayonim, it's still not enough. It's only if he literally treats them like a bezdin, and he's kaveh them a certain special place for the bezdin, and he sends out an hazmona, which means a summons. If it's really set up in the way that a bezdin will be set up, only then would it be considered a bezdin, and you'd write as a shtar. Okay, says the Gemara, last word on the line. Hoide b'metaltali. The person admits that he owes metaltali. Remember we said, what's the difference between metaltali and karki? If I lend you money, or for that matter, if I lend you a cup of water or a cucumber, that's a milva, which we say milva loitzon it. No, I'm not expecting you to pay me back the same cucumber. Because the entire reason you've borrowed the cucumber in the first place, certainly if it's cash, is in order to spend it. So that's called loitzah, for expenditure, nitna, it was given. So what am I expecting back? I'm expecting back a replacement, but not the same one. Whereas if I lend you karaka, if I say, listen, you can use my house for a year, I'm expecting the same house back. A house is there to be used, but not to be spent, or a field in the same way. So says the Gemara, hoida b'metaltali. If there was an admission, yes, I borrowed 10 cucumbers from you, and he did a kinyan and koisvin, you'd write it in the shtavim lav ein koisin. What happens if it was karaka? Maybe then it won't need a kinyan. And indeed, and that's halacha vilchas koisvin. Why? So we said, remember, because there you don't need to do a whole claim. When I need to claim my cucumbers off you, I need to really demand of you that you go and fetch cucumbers and you get hold of them and you pay them. Whereas if you're dealing with karaka, then what's my claim? Not that you should go and fetch karaka, just the karaka that you're in is mine. So all you need to do is leave. That's much simpler. So for that, you'd write a shtar. Says the Gemara a story. Ravina ikla l'demaharia. Ravina came to a place, Rashi says, the Maharia is the name of a place. Omalei Rav Dimi bar Rav Huna midemaharia. L'Ravina. So Rav Dimi, who was a local in Madmaharia, said to Ravina, Metaltali v'isni ba'anai umai. Even though we said before that if you admit to metaltalin, it's only if you did a kinyan that you write a shtar. But what happens if you didn't do a kinyan, but the metaltalin are there? He actually has the five cucumbers in his fridge. So we said before, why is cucumbers different? It's a much more serious claim. You've got to go and buy them. But here you don't. It's Ba'en. He has them. So maybe I could write a shtar then, even if he didn't do a kinyan. Says the Gemara, yes, you're right, that's treated like karakoi, and therefore you would write a shtar. Rav Ashi says, no, I disagree. Given the mechisri gavaina, loy. At the end of the day, he has not yet claimed it. He might have the cucumbers, but he hasn't yet claimed it. It's still subject to a claim. You would not write a shtar. Says the Gemara, hahi udisa. Now, 10 lines from the bottom also. Ahi Udisa, there was a shtar of admission. The problem was there was something faulty with the shtar. What was the problem with the shtar? Hahu Udisa deloi have a kosov bo. It was not written in the shtar the following words, quote unquote. Omar Lona, he said to us, kisvu v'chismu v'hovule, write and seal and give it to him. In a regular shtar, you'd expect that to be written. The Bezdin would write a shtar. And in it would be clearly written that the person who admitted he owed the money told us to write and seal this shtar. So on the one hand, we have a shtar, so it certainly looks like it's authentic, but it's missing a critical phrase. Why does it not write in it that we were instructed by the fellow who admitted to write the shtar. So what do we do? Says the Gemara, Abaye v'Rava Doma Taravayu. So both Abaye and Rava both agreed. Hainu de Resh Lakish. This very much reminds us of Resh Lakish. What did Resh Lakish say? Doma Resh Lakish Chazaka Eino Edim Chos Min Al Hashtar Elohim Kein Nase Godil. There we had halacha, which is not relevant to us, Sugim Baba Basra, that with regard to selling your father's assets, you've got to be 20. If there's a shtar floating around, you could assume that the Beis Din would not have written the shtar unless the person was indeed 20 and it was written kedas v'kedin. In other words, it's true. It is a bit strange that this line of the shtar is missing. But Beis Din would not issue a false shtar. We've got no reason to suspect. We might suspect that people off the street lie. But Beis Din would not issue a shtar unless it was done properly. So yes, they should have included the line saying that we were instructed to do so, but they didn't. So we can nonetheless assume that indeed they were instructed to do so, and therefore the shtar is okay. Says the Gemara Maskiflor of Papi. Rav Papi asked a question, or some say Vitamir of Hunabredri of Shua, Mi Ekemidi, Da Anan Loya Dinon, Vesifri Debei Rav, Debei Dino Yodi. What are you saying? That we're not sure of the halacha, but those who wrote the shtar and the Beis Din, the scribes, oh, they're a big baki, and they know the halachas, and they absolutely would never have written a shtar had it not been correct. Really, is that true? Are they so knowledgeable? So they checked. Shoalinu Lesifri da Abaya, they asked the scribes in Abaya's Beis Din, v'yodi, and indeed they knew the halacha. The Sifri de Rava Vayodi, and they knew the halacha. So yes, it's true. Those who are appointed as scribes in the Beis Din clearly know what they're talking about. And therefore, if they wrote a shtar, albeit there's a little bit of a fault in the shtar, there's a line missing, but we can safely assume they knew exactly what they were doing, and they would never have written the shtar unless there really would have been a valid admission, and therefore the shtar is kosher. Says the Gemara, the last line now. Ahu Udisa, once again, another shtar of admission. Remember, when we talk about a shtar of admission, this is very important to understand. What does that mean, an admission? A regular shtar choiv says, I borrowed money. An Udisa is not that. Udisa is, I admit, not that I borrowed, but rather that I owe you money. Why do I owe you money? It's irrelevant. Those details were not stated. I hereby admit that I owe you $1,000. Why? Maybe I borrowed the money. Maybe I damaged your property. Maybe I promised to give you a birthday present. Maybe you deposited something with me and I haven't given it back. There could be 50 reasons why I owe you money. It's all irrelevant. Those details are not stated in the shtar. All that's stated is, again, if somebody admits in front of two Edim and Kol Shekein in front of a Beis Din, I owe, Reuven says, I owe Shimon $1,000, that's good enough for us. Why he owes the money is totally irrelevant. That's not relevant. So when we talk about a shtar odisa, it means a shtar of admission. Why the money was owed is irrelevant. Says the Gemara, bottom line. Hahi odisa davakosev bei duchrin piskemi. Duchrin piskemi, Rashi explained, again, there's a slight fault in the Loshon of the shtar. It was not written in the correct Loshon. It was not written, the Eidos was not written in the Loshon of Eidim, rather it was written in the Loshon of Dayonim. Says the Gemara, top line, V'chol lishlid de beidina. Everything was written in a Beis Din Loshon. Beis Din have a certain style, a certain text. Now, if Beis Din write a shtar, then how many signatures would you expect there to be on the shtar? There should be three. If it was Edim who were writing the shtar, then you'd expect there to be two. So here we have a bit of a contradiction. On the one hand, it's written all the lashonis of Beis Din, and however, there were only two signatures. Says the Gemara, "V'lo yavakosav bo," it was not written in it, quote unquote, "b'moisav tlosa." The three of us sat down, havina, v'chad le'soihi, but one of them went. What would be the halacha if, in front of three dayonim, somebody admitted it really was a Beis Din, and then one of them died before you wrote the shtar? So, what would the dayonim write? We were, in fact, a moishav Beis Din. One of them, unfortunately, can't sign. He's out of action. That's what you would have expected on this shtar, because it's written on the one hand, the Nusach of Bezdin, but there's only two signatures, so presumably one of them is not available. So why doesn't it say that in the shtar? So would we now once again evoke the rule of Resh Lakish, which is that what? If the Bezdin issued the shtar, you can assume it was okay. Says the Gemara, Sova Ravina Lameima, Hainu the Resh Lakish. So Ravina thought that once again, this is the rule of Resh Lakish. If the Bezdin issued a shtar, it's probably okay. Says the Gemara, Omalei Rav Nosson Bami Hochar Minam Bishmei Derova Kol Kiai Gavna Chashinon LeBezdin Toyin. No, I would not apply Resh Lakish's rule, and I would say that I'm actually worried that Bezdin made a mistake, and maybe they thought that two people can be constituted a kosher Bezdin. Omer of Nachum Ayitzok I Kosabo Beidina Suloy Tzorich. If they would have actually written the words Bezdin, everybody knows that two people is not a Bezdin, then it would have sufficed. Says the Gemara, why? V'dilma Bezdin Chotzofu. We had the concept of a Chutzpah de Kebezdin, a brazen Bezdin, to Omar Shmuel, Shnaim Shedonu Dineim Din, Ela Shenikru Bezdin Chotzof. So don't tell me that everybody knows that two people can't be a Bezdin, because two people may constitute a Bezdin, albeit a brazen one. Says the Gemara, de Kosav Bey Beidina. You cannot write in a shtar Beidina. Everybody knows if you write Beidina, which means Bezin, it definitely meant three. So the fact that it has two is very suspicious. Says the Gemara, the Kosabe, sorry, I missed out some words. The Kosabe Beidina de Ravna Ashi. Ravna Ashi. Ravna Ashi was a very choshev Bezin. They certainly would not make a mistake. The Dilma Rabbonon de Beir of Ashi Kashmuel Sviri Lahu. Maybe they hold like Shmuel, and Shmuel says that even two people would constitute a Bezdin. No, the Kosav Boy va Omar Lon Ravna Ashi. We were given clear instruction by Ravna Ashi. It was clearly a Bezdin. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbonon, now a few stories. Omalahen Echot. One person said, Ani ro'isi avichem, I saw your father, shehit min mo'is. He buried money, b'shido tevo migdol, by some cupboard or a closet or a box. Not only that, v'omar shel ployni heim, and he said when he put the money in that it belongs to ployni, and then he said alternatively, shel ma'isa sheini heim, or he said the ma'isa sheini. So either way, the children are basically being told, you cannot use this money because we heard your father say what? That it's not his money, or maybe it is his, but it's my sasheni, so at least you've got to take it to Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says it depends. In other words, what's our shaila? Is it true or is it not true? Maybe it was the father's money. Maybe he's just lying. Says the Gemara, so it depends. If it's babayis, loyomar klum. If the money is to be found in a house, ignore it. It's a load of baloney. Basada, then dvar of kayomim, then it's true. Now, what's the difference whether it's in a bias or a sada? The Gemara says, klole shel dava, kol shebi yodoy litlon, dvar of kayomim. Remember, this person who's claiming it, he in fact could have taken the money. So then the Gemara says, if so, he's believed. Again, where's the money? The money was in the field. Well, if the money was in the field, this fellow who came along and said, you know, your father said that it's not really his, kach v'kach. What are you worried about, that he's lying? If he really would have wanted to lie, he could have taken the money anyway. It's lying in a field. It's accessible to anybody. So clearly, therefore, he's not lying. What agenda has he got to lie? Whereas if it's babayis, however, that's different. Says the Gemara, if it's babayis, if it's ein biyodo litlon, then lo yama klum. He can't take it when it's lying in your house. So therefore, you've got no proof that he's saying the truth, because he could have taken the money anyway. He could not have taken the money because it's sitting in your house under lock and key. Says the Gemara, Hare shero'u es avien, if they actually saw their father, Shehit min mois peshido teva umigdol. The Omar, and he said, shall ploinien or shall maisa shenien. So this is not the same as the first story. In the previous story, they never saw their father do it. They were told by someone that's what he did. So we're trying to work out whether this someone is telling the truth or not telling the truth. But over here, they actually saw their father, presumably just before he died, put the money there. And then what happened? He said, it doesn't really belong to me, or it belongs to Maisa Sheni. So the Gemara says it depends. If it seems to be that he was saying it in a very serious way, and the reason why he was telling it to his children, because he genuinely wanted them to know to the truth. He was saying, listen, he's about to die, and he wants to make sure that his debts are settled. But im kemarim, if the impression you get is he's just joking and tricking them, they're loyal machu. Okay, the last story. Hare shoyo mitstair al mois sheniach leyodev. The third story. Somebody was very distressed. He knows that his father has left money behind and he doesn't know where it is. Doesn't know where it is. Ubo bal hachaloyim. Somebody comes into a dream, comes to him in a dream and says, v'omoloi kach v'kach hein, this is the amount, and I'll tell you, b'mokon pleini, and I'll tell you where they are. And the third detail is, they say, shal maisa sheni hein. So three details were disclosed in the dream: the amount, the location, and the status. Says the Gemara, Zehoyo Maisa, there was a story like this, Va'omru, and they said, I'm sorry, Divrei Chaloyim is lo malim v'lo meiridin, you'd ignore the dream. So even if he goes to that particular place, and even if he finds that it is that particular sum of money, but now we do not have to assume that it's also Maisa Sheni, even though the rest of the dream seems to have been fulfilled 100%. At the end of the day, you cannot paskan halacha based on a dream. So there's money lying around. We have no reason to assume it's Maisa Sheni just because the Baal HaChaloyim said it is. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we're in the final stretch. Shnayim Oimrim Zakai. So remember, we had a split decision in the Beis Din. Two said innocent, one said guilty, so clearly he's innocent. Now, what do you write in the Shtar? What do you write in the Psak Din? Mechtav Heichi Kosvi. What exactly do we write? Rabbi Yochanan Omar Zakai. One word. You just write innocent. You don't go into any details. Resh Lakish Omar, no, you go into all the details. Pleini or pleini mezakin, or pleini or pleini mechayvin. You write exactly who said innocent, who said guilty. Rabbi Lezer was the third opinion, and he said, midivreyem nizdake pleini. I don't go into details, but I do clearly indicate that it was a split decision. So I said that we are right. Through the words of the Beis Din, we've come to a psak that he is innocent. That's another way of saying it was a split decision, but we're not going into details about who said what. My beinayu. So what will be the difference between the three opinions? Says the Gemara, lishlumi ihu manta bahadai. What happens if there was a mistake? And it turns out that the Beis Din made a toll, so they have to reimburse. Who has to reimburse? Does the third dayon, remember, he never said he's innocent. He said the other guy is chayev. Does he also have to pay? If you say, the only thing we wrote in the shtar was, the Beis Din said zakai, everybody is equal. Well, then you've got to play your part. Because that's the reason why we wrote everybody's name, that you've got to now stand behind your psak. So if you made a mistake, then you have to pay, but the one who didn't make a mistake does not have to pay. Says the Gemara, why? Ulaman doma zakai, even if that's the case, mishale, why should he pay? Le male, ile didit sai sisun, atunami le shal mitun. Why can't he say, excuse me, why on earth do I have to pay for your mistake? Had you only listened to me, it turns out that I was right after all. Had you only listened to me, then you jolly well wouldn't have paid. I'm not paying. Says the Gemara, fine. Elaika beinayu, maybe there's a different difference. Leshalmi inhu mante dide. You're right. The third one does not have to pay. It's the other two that have to pay. But how much do they have to pay? Is it split 50-50? Or do they have to pay one third each? And the third third is not paid at all. Leman doma zakai meshalmi, because it's considered a collective psak of the bezins. You've got to go half-half. Leman doma ploini ploini mezakin, ploini ploini mechalvin, lo meshalmi. Once again, why not? Ulaman domar zakai mishalmi, they've got to pay their half. For lame, why can't they say, ilav at bahadon, loy have a salik dinamidi? Why can't they turn around to the third one and say, listen, it's true that you paskened against us, But had you not been here, we never would have been a Bez Din. So it's only the fact that you joined forces and you're part of the Bez Din. I'm sorry, you're part of the Psak. So why should we pay? You're part. Says the Gemara, you're right. And this is the Maskana now. You're right. The only difference is with regard to Lashon Hara. What does that mean? Do you know why Rabbi Yochanan said you've just simply got to write Zakai one word without going to any details? Because we don't want to detail who said what, because it's a question of Lashon Hara. Resh Lakish Omar, no. I hold that Pliny or Pliny Mizakin or Pliny or Pliny Mechayvin. Do you know why I've got to go into details? Because otherwise, Mishum, the Mechsika Shikra. Because if it really was a split decision and you just write one word, Zakai, well, that's not very accurate because that gives the impression that it was a unanimous decision. And in fact, it wasn't. So you have to write the details. Rabbi Loza says, I hold of both opinions. And therefore my solution is the best. What is that? Hilchoch kosvi hochi. Therefore, this is what you should write. Midivrehem nizdake ploini. My psak is the best of the lot, says Rabbi Loza. Why? I agree that we don't want to go into details of who said what because of Lashon Hara. I agree that you can't just write Zakai because that gives the impression it was unanimous and that's actually not true. So I've got a dream solution. Write in the Shtar that the split decision of the Beis Din is that he's innocent. That way you've covered all your bases. There's no Lashon Hara because you didn't mention any names. You also said quite clearly, you indicated clearly it was a split decision, so nobody could say, oh, it looks a bit false. You're giving the impression it was unanimous when really it was split. No, we said quite clearly it was a split decision. And that, in fact, is halacha olamaisa. Okay, Rabbeisai, we close up shop over here. It's always very moving at the end of any zman, but particularly at the end of a winter zman, and particularly a six-month winter zman. A six-month winter zman doesn't come about all that often. It's only every 2 or 3 years. So it's a big zechus to have learnt for 6 months straight. I think we've covered, Baruch Hashem, a lot of dafim, maybe about 10 daf or more this month, Baruch Hashem, which is a terrific achievement. We've also done chazara of every single Gemara we've learnt. And I'm assuming that every person also prepares the Gemara before and hopefully reviews it, which means that we've learnt it 4 times together, which is a terrific achievement, b'li'ayin hara. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be mezaka'as with many more zmanim together, many more winter zmanim and years together. We should be zeicher to finish this mesechta and other mesechtas. Everybody should be healthy and well. La'orech yomim v'shonim. And amitz Hashem, everyone should have a chag, kosher v'sameach, be'ezus Hashem.
Amen.
So we're going to be taking a break now, a much needed break, if I may say, and we'll be resuming after Pesach. Obviously, I'll send an email. Yom Tov finishes, if I'm not mistaken, on a Monday. Is that right? Pesach begins on a Tuesday.
Yes.
Yom Tov finishes on a Monday. And Rosh Chodesh is the following Wednesday and Thursday. So either we'll begin on that Wednesday or the following Sunday. We'll be in touch, Mr. Hashem, closer to the time. Okay, be well, everybody. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful Chodesh. Good Chodesh to everybody.
Right. Kosher v'sameach.
Amen.